I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden with a little question for you. How are your allergies doing this week? Because mine are doing real well. Yeah, you'll notice that. It's kind of funny because I'm an East Coast girl, grew up Mid-Atlantic region, was born in the South, grew up in the Mid-Atlantic area, I guess you could say, and never had any issues with allergies. But I move out here into the Plains area, and man, every spring, it just drives me crazy. And evidently, your body gets accustomed to what's around you, you know, and genetically what your ancestors have been disposed to, and you build up a tolerance to that. And so now moving out here, I have no tolerance to cottonwood and that kind of thing, and it just really starts to bloom and flare up on me. So I don't know. Maybe Colorado doesn't like me that much. I just don't know. But anyway, such is life. We go on. We move on. I have an assignment that I am entitling Them and Us for this week. And, you know, it's interesting because that can be a very good thing, them and us, and it can also be a very detrimental thing when you talk about them and us. Let me put it in the context of martial arts. I know I have a lot of martial arts instructors and practitioners that do listen in. Thank you so much. I consider you my brother and sister, and I'm very honored. But, you know, in martial arts, the way it's structured, you know, it can be a them and us in the way that, well, we're all martial artists. That's us. And then there's them who aren't martial artists. Or we're all black belts, and that's us. And then there's them who train, but they're not black belts. And then there's, you know, there's us who are master instructors, and then there are them who are maybe black belts or more, but they're not master instructors. There's always another level in martial arts. You can never really obtain anything if you do it right. Because there's always a next level to get to. And that's okay. Here's why. Because when it comes to something like that, those who are them can always become us. Because us, we remember what it was like to be them very easily. And we don't ever forget that. So it's very easy to obtain us when you're a them. And it's very easy to remember us, to remember them when you're an us. All right, don't try not to confuse you here, but you see my point. There are other situations with them and us. You know, I always talk about I grew up, I trained career-wise as a broadcaster, working for various news affiliates. And, you know, there is a big them and us there. And this is where it can be detrimental because, you know, when you're on TV, whether it's a local celebritism or you're a big star or whatever, people will hold you to a higher standard because they see you on TV. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, really, just because you see me on TV, I'm better and more special than anybody who's not on TV. I am. but what happens when you are that person on TV is it becomes very quickly, or whatever celebritism it may be, whatever it is, it very quickly becomes a them and us because all of a sudden you've been elevated to this point where you can't be like everybody else and people will continue to perceive you that way and, you know, you can't really mess up a whole lot. And when you do mess up and you fall hard. That's a them and us that can be very lonely. You know, you may have heard the phrase, it's lonely at the top. It is because you've become so elevated to the point that you can't really relate any longer to people who may be your audience or to people who perceive you in a different manner. It's just an automatic section off, and it is lonely. Even in from a local news point where people in whatever market I was working at in television saw me, it always turned out that way. You know, oh, that's the girl that did the weather. You know, she's the one on the news. She's special. So we're going to let her eat for free at our restaurant. You know, we're going to give her all of the goodie bags and she doesn't have to pay for anything. That's bad because, you know, at that point I could afford to pay for things. And I had other people that couldn't afford it. You know, they worked really hard to be able to do things, you know, and it should be the opposite, honestly. It really should be the opposite. Now I want you to pay for my dinner because I'm not on news anymore. That's fine now, but now nobody pays my dinner. So, oh, man. But anyway, with them and us, when it comes to celebritism, it becomes very detrimental to not only the person that is in the spotlight, but also, you know, to the person who looks up to people, because you got to remember, people are people. People are just people. You know, some people get a lucky break and they get to do TV or movies or be in rock bands or whatever you think is really cool. That's because they got a good break. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best at what they do. It just means that they got a really good break. They were at the right place at the right time. That's all it is, but they're still people. And it's a really hard thing to grasp. I remember, I got to tell you, one of my first TV jobs was at a very small market in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. It's like, I don't know, Johnstown is like an hour, hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh. And market size, probably 180-something. It's a small market. So when I talk about markets, it's like everybody wants to be major market. Everybody wants to work for New York, L.A., Philadelphia, or any major city. Denver is considered a pretty major city as well. And until you can do that, you kind of have to pay your dues. So what we call pay your dues is you got to start small. You start at very small markets, and you work your way up. And, you know, get out the kinks, get out the mistakes, polish yourself, become very, very good. So my small market polishing time was when I worked for Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And what happens, though, when you're in a smaller city, and they have a local TV news affiliate, is that you become a really big star quick. So it's almost like you're a big duck in a little pond because there's just, you know, it's a small area. It's a small town. So I just remember, it never really dawned on me. I'm just thinking about paying my dues, getting out of here as soon as I can, moving to a bigger and better job like everybody else that I worked with for the most part. But, you know, you go out just to get a coffee or go into the grocery store, and people, you know, they put you on kind of a pedestal type situation. You know, so I would go out on my days off or whatever, not wearing makeup, looking really bad, mind you. Wearing cut-off sweats. I mean, just it was my day to finally take a break and not have to worry about makeup and looking professional and all that stuff. And I didn't realize it. I walk in the store and everybody's staring at me, and I don't know why. It just did not dawn on me because I wasn't used to that. And, you know, people are whispering, and then I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's the matter? Is there something on my face? What? And then finally on my way to the car, somebody stopped and go, you're the girl that does the weather. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am, you know. And then I felt really bad because I looked absolutely horrifying. But, you know, and that's when it first dawned on me that people hold me into a higher degree just because I'm the girl that they see on TV. And it quickly can become them and us, so I'm very fortunate. I consider myself a little different when it comes to that, because I never really took myself too serious with that. I hope there's news directors listening to me that hired me that can hear that now. I never really took myself that serious. And I was good at what I did. I did it for a long time, 20-plus years. But it was something I could do, and it was nothing I really took that serious. So that's why I just kind of laugh about it today. Them and us, guys. There's another situation with them and us that is a big deal today, and I just want to shed some light on it. As someone who is a clinical pastor, a certified counselor, I want to just have this assignment today to talk about a situation to maybe make you think a little bit different about it. So I always tell you, I have 14 nationalities, okay? I literally broke the DNA test. I think it started smoking. I and just blew up. I have that many nationalities, 14 And, you know, these tests, they go back, you know, some of them go back thousands of years. So it has to be enough of a DNA sample still in your bloodstream to be able to where your blood or your spit or whatever, your specimen, to be able to be picked up. And a lot of them I knew, I thought, honestly, I thought I only had like 8 or 9, but pretty shocked to see I had 14 nationalities. So I'm at a good position to be able to tell you some things like, you know, I could pick any one of those 14 nationalities and tell you how I feel like I've been screwed over. I honestly could. I don't care what it is. It could be the Irish one. It could be the Italian one, the Russian. I could tell you from every point of view of every nationality I have how I feel like I've been a little screwed over in my ancestry. Bad things happen to everybody. It can be a very positive thing when you come together as a people, as a group, to make change in this world. But change has to come from a place of love. It has to come from a place of peace. And what I see a lot today is change that's coming from a place of anger, protest, rallies filled with hate for the other people who are not us. There are people who aren't the same color of us. And our color historically was mistreated, and we need to band together. See, now that's where it can become very dangerous, because history cannot be changed. So what are you going to do? Because now you're stuck with this history that nobody can fix. The best thing that you can hope for, and you know, I'm Native American, that's one of them, where I really have to catch myself. Because it becomes very them and us for me. You know, look what they did to us. Look how they mistreated us. And it's true. I'm not going to lie. It's very, very true that Native American people were mistreated. And African American people were mistreated. Just to name two that everybody knows about. But the problem is, you can't really change what happened. And you're dealing with a generation of offspring who had nothing to do with that decision making at that time. So now there's not going to be an apology, because everybody who should have apologized for mistreating your people are gone, under the ground, dead. What do you do with that? Listen, if you're going to make change, you've got to educate. And you've got to educate from a place of love. And you've got to get rid of the them and us. I do a lot of Native American education. I travel. I travel and do this. Sometimes I go, I speak, and I teach martial arts and Native American schools. Some are not Native American. Some are public schools. I do a lot of this traveling. I'm always aware that people, if I'm going to do Native American education, view me typically as just an Indian girl. When here, Native American is not my strongest DNA sample. I have 14 nationalities. I know I look it. I got every Native American gene there is. I'll give you that. But I have siblings. I have a half-sister who has blonde hair and blue eyes. She's just as Native as I am. You know, she didn't get the look. So I'm telling you that it's a hard place to be, where you're going to just bang your head against the wall with anger, circle, 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 bang, anger, circle, 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 bang, anger. There has to be an understanding that you're going to educate from a place of love, because this generation only knows what it knows, red, yellow, black, or white. All they know is what they know. And you can't expect them to feel for you because your ancestors suffered. They don't get it. My ancestors suffered. I don't expect people to understand it until I go and I educate and I say, listen, this is what happened. These 5 tribes of Native Americans, these Eastern Woodland Indians, were put on a trail, literally at gunpoint, only had a few minutes to gather things, some of them, and hit that trail. They had houses. They had nice things. Some of them were wealthy business owners, some of these Cherokee people that I descend from. So when they had to leave at gunpoint, the people in the village or the town, they gambled to see who got their stuff. That's wrong. You know, of course it makes me angry. It probably makes you angry, too, and you had nothing to do with it, and your ancestors aren't Native. I don't know. But I could sit here and really get into that and just go, oh, it's them and us. Look what they did. Look what they did. You know what? That's not progress, guys. I can't do that. the best I can hope for is to have someone come and speak to them and educate them on what really happened and make them see. I don't hold them accountable. Caucasian people that I go speak to, I don't hold you accountable for anything. I'm very much Caucasian myself. But I hope you don't feel that way. But I think once you know, you can have an understanding of why people do feel the way they do today. And people think Indians are backwards. They're very backwards and antisocial. Maybe you can understand that, given their history that trickled down into their blood veins when there was no accountability for it. African Americans, the same thing. I'm not bitter. Again, I'm coming from a place of education. But if you understood that there were European descendants, there are Europeans in the beginning that came to this country in the name of Christ, my Lord and Savior, Christ, came over here and pretty much lied, forced at gunpoint the removal, or condoned the removal, if they didn't participate in it, of 120 million Native Americans in the name of God. Okay, and then they went over and they took foreigners from another country away from their land to build and do all their dirty, heavy labor to build this country. When you understand that, and you really maybe not clearly can understand that if that blood's not in your veins like mine, but if it is, maybe you can understand why for generations in the past 150, 200 years it trickles down. Don't trust, don't trust, don't trust. That's why it's a hard time for me as someone who's an ordained clinical pastor to go into Native American areas and say, listen, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ worked for me. Because all they hear is their parents and their grandparents and their great-greats trickling down. These Europeans were Christian people, and look what they did to us. So now you understand what you're dealing with, them and us. It's not right. It's not good. I myself had to get to the point where I finally said, listen, who's my brother? Who's my sister? Those who support me in the same spiritual journey, those who believe in my Lord and Savior, they're my brother, they're my sister, period. Red, yellow, black, or white, I don't care what color you are. You're my brother and you're my sister. And according to what the rules are in my book, the Bible, is I have to love you just like I would love myself. I have to extend my love to you just like I would to myself. The total highest level of spiritual divineness, or whatever you want to call it, achievement, is to be able to love people around you just as much as you love yourself in any situation. When you talk about loving your neighbor as yourself, I don't mean the neighbor next door to your house. Anybody in your vicinity at any time of the day is your neighbor. To be able to extend to them a piece of what you feel about yourself to them in love. You know how you want to give yourself good things, right? I love giving myself good things. I love my purses. I have Vuitton, Gucci, Fendi. I love my designer purses. For me to be on the highest level of my spiritual reasoning requires for me to go buy one for someone who's standing near me. I'm like, no, don't want to do that. But I don't claim to be at that level, guys. But at least I have an understanding of what I'm supposed to do. And it's starting to filtrate in. I'm a work in progress, too. I know a lot of people think I have all the answers. But listen, it's an acting job. I don't. I don't have all the answers, guys. I can only know and go to that book and get what I get. I have my own experiences in my life that I've learned from. But I still got a long way to go myself. It's a lot of pressure when people think you're some kind of guru or sage. I don't want it. I don't want to be that. You know, I'm 3 years away from the rank of Grand Master. You hit 30 years, you're a Grand Master. I'm like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. Just call me Master Karen. I want to be some grandma, Grand Master Karen. Sounds like granny. I don't want that. All right, guys, listen. Them and us. strength in numbers. It's good when it's us and we're all together on the same page and we got a loving mission and we've got spiritual journeys to walk and spiritual bridges to cross. That's all good stuff. But when it's not good is when there's no way for those who are them to be able to come up and be with us. That's when them and us is dangerous. I can only relate to you again the teachings of what I believe spiritually in Jesus Christ. In an example, the book of Luke, which is one of the four Gospels, the book of Luke. Luke was a physician. He's a very good writer. He writes very fluid. You can tell he's a very educated man when he writes the book of Luke and read it. If you've never read a book of the Bible, read the book of Luke. So Luke, in his book, you keep in mind the four Gospels are all we have of the teachings of Christ. And a lot of them reiterate the same thing for the very point, just to verify, if nothing else, that what they're saying is true. Because these scriptors, these writers, these scribes, were actually going by what they remember Jesus saying. And it's very similar. I mean, a few changes, but very similar. And the bottom line is the main story is very similar. Luke is the only gospel in the teachings of Christ that actually talks about women and children in a positive light. He actually talks, he mentions where Jesus Christ says, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for instance. And that's the Old English, the King James Version, but Jesus loved kids. And he wanted them to come to him. He wanted to bless them and to inspire them and women. And he with women, too, the woman that was going to be stoned, which was cultural at that time because she committed adultery, Jesus like, whoa, 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 whoa. Anybody here that has never made a mistake, go ahead, you throw that stone. What could they do? They put all their stones down. Everybody makes mistakes. You see, women and children at that time culturally were property. I think that, no, I don't agree with that at all. I think it's horrible. But during those times in the Middle East, women were property. There are times now in some countries in the Middle East, women are still property. Women and children are property, okay? It's just a fact. Not happy about that, but it's a fact. So a lot of the other writers would not include children. Even his right-hand guy, I believe, wasn't it Peter who said, Master, why are you bothering with kids? This is somebody's property. I mean, it's like chickens in the field. Why are you messing with them? You know, and that's why I said, you know, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. Because women and children were not treated equal. And through the teachings of Luke, we can, not the teachings, but the writings of Luke, the teachings of Christ, we can see that Jesus Christ broke that and included women and children in his circle. Very unusual. He's very much a rebel. But he's setting a standard that even today, 3,000 years later, we have to realize that people that we don't consider to be in our circle, we need to embrace them. We have to embrace people who aren't the same color, the same race, the same economic level, same part of town as us. We need to embrace them. If they're on the same spiritual journey that we're on, we need to consider them family. We need to look out for them. We need to encourage them. This is how this is set up. This is how spiritual families are set up. You know, I'm kind of a loner. I don't really like to be around crowds. And it's kind of funny because the bottom line is when I don't really like to be part of any type of crowd, I'm talking even religious gatherings or whatever, some people will always be put on my stage. People will always be put in my path and I know that I have to help in some way because that's the way the spirit realm works. You're here to offer something to somebody in some way. Have an ear open to the spirit realm. Be open to that. Have a knowing that you're here for a reason, that people are going to be put on your stage for a reason. Everything is something. Every person on your path or on your stage is there for a reason. Got to figure out what that reason is. Are they here to help you? Are you here to help them? But those are just the basic rules that will absolutely annihilate the them and us theme, the them and us category. Remember, I think it's great when you can be an us where you're going to be supportive and make change. But the them and us is not good when it's going to be something out of hate and anger where you're going to ostracize, you're going to put away other people. you know, because they don't have the same history as you. They don't have the same ancestry as you. That's where it's different. I want to encourage you to make a difference, but I want to encourage you to make that difference out of love. That's the bottom line. That's totally all that really matters between here and eternity, is that you do everything you can in love. Everybody on your stage, everybody on your path, along your journey. When you, we have a saying in martial arts, you know, when you've learned your lesson, the problem will go away. And until you learn that lesson, that problem's going to keep coming right back over and over and over and over. Martial arts will make you very spiritual, guys. I've never met anybody who spent any time in martial arts that didn't seek out spiritual things. Can't help it. You're becoming body, mind, and spirit. You're becoming this balance, a wholesomeness. And you want everything to be in balance in your life. And martial arts will definitely bring that out in you eventually if you keep on your journey. It should, if you're doing it right. You know, if you have a teacher that understands what balance is and what martial arts really is about, it should. And it needs to be a very positive thing. All right, listen, I appreciate you guys. I have 4 books out. Go buy them, please. I have some book signings this year. Let me quickly just tell you that at the end of, the middle of June, the end of June, I guess, the week of June 27th, I'm going to be at Karate College with my good friend Bill Superfoot Wallace. I'm going to be doing a book signing, and I'm going to be holding a seminar class there. I'll hold a class there. At the end of July, I'm going to the Korean Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame as an induction. Really proud of this. This is the real deal. Listen, guys, I didn't pay for this one. They're actually taking care of it and inducting me, so it's different for me. A lot of these things, you got to pay for everything, man. You pay for your induction. You pay for your trophies. Like, geez, did I win? Who really won in this? Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about, karate people. That's okay. I love it all. I'm not discriminating. I'm just saying the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame is a real big deal for me. Appreciate that. Love to see you. That's going to be in Atlanta. Then I've got Gary Lee, his Sport Karate Museum event in Houston. And it's all female, the largest gathering of female martial artists coming up at the end of September. I'll be speaking at that and also have my books there for a book signing. I hope you can be there because it's going to be fun, ladies. And even if you're under black belt, we call GUPS. I didn't want to say that without you understanding. You haven't reached the rank of of black belt yet. It's okay. Come anyway. This is a fun event. Bring the whole family. Gary Lee always makes it nice, and he makes it relatively affordable, too. He's not someone who's going to really jack up any prices or anything. Appreciate that about him. He keeps it family cha-ching. It's family cha-ching, guys. But ladies, if you train, girls, if you train, come on out. You're meeting some women that have spent decades of mastering their art form, and you can talk to them, and it'll be a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to speaking. It's an honor of my good friend, Mikey Rowe, who's a female fighter from back in the 60s and the 70s. Mean as heck, that woman. I get to roast her. So looking forward to that. Man, I tell you what, she's a tough cookie, and she really forged a lot of ground for women to be able to even fight back then, the 60s and 70s. One of the first female fighters out there to ever win. So anyway, come join us in Houston if you can at the end of September. I got some Native American areas I'm going to. Going to the Paiute Reservation in Washington State, Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma coming up in October. I'll let you know more about that. If anything else, just to pray for me because I need that. And I believe in prayer. Prayer is great energy. If the Bible says, if 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. The power of Christ is there if you have 2 people praying together. And not that you can't pray by yourself. That's powerful too. But remember, there's strength in numbers, right? The more people you can get to pray for you, the better off you're going to be. I feel it. I can feel when people pray for me. It's real. It's a real powerful energy. So that's what's going on with me. If I can help you, if you need me to talk about something specifically, you can hit me up. I'm on Facebook at Karen Eden Herdman. I have my Eden Assignment Facebook page with 5.5K people and growing. Thank you so much for that. I post all my blogs and my writings there. I write for 2 karate magazines a month. Thank you guys in martial arts for supporting me for over 20 years. God bless you. And I'll see you next time on Eden Assignment. Okay, have a good one. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. This is Karen Eden from the Eden Assignment, and I would like to tell you about a very special sponsor for the show, who also happens to be my longtime friend, Maria Vitale of Liv Sotheby's, real estate agent at Maria at mariasdenverhomes.com. And I want you to know that she can take care of all of your real estate needs from, get this, anywhere on the entire planet. That's right. Nowhere's too far for her to reach out and help you with all of your real estate needs. Her phone number is 720-366-5121. Again, that's Maria Vitale, real estate agent at Liv Sotheby's downtown Cherry Creek in Denver. Her email is maria@mariasdenverhomes.com. She's able to help you, and I can vouch for her that she's a good person, and she will definitely take care of you. So thank you very much, Maria, for sponsoring the Eden Assignment. And we'll see you all next time for another show.
The American Martial Arts Alliance, along with the AMAA Masters Radio Network, is launching Proud to be a Martial Artist. This will be the theme of our 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. Nominate someone for this great honor, someone that has made a contribution to the martial arts that has changed lives, that unsung hero that has done so much for the community, so much for lives. We want to know about that person. Visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination today. So many martial artists have lost the opportunity to share their story. Remember, visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination. For questions and support, call 919-489-6100.